Hey everyone, welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to another episode. I'm excited to introduce our guest. And before I do that, I just want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, and that's Jane. Jane is an all-in-one practice management software to help you run your practice with a suite of features that makes it really easy to meet with individuals, couples, families, and more. My practice switched to Jane a couple months ago. The transition was easy and painless, and we had a ton of support. One of my favorite things about Jane is the customizability of the software and the friendly customer support. So thanks again to Jane for sponsoring the episode. If you're interested in learning more, jane.app/mentalhealth-us. You can use the code PPW1MO for 1 month off of your account. Let's get into the episode. So I'm excited to introduce my guest today, Mike Vander. He is the co-founder of Waybook. It's a software and a tool that my group practice has been using and building upon for some time now. And so we're big fans of Waybook. And Mike, thanks again for being here. What else should people know about kind of you and how you got here? Maybe a little of the backstory of kind of what is Waybook and how did you guys come to create it?
Sure. Yeah. Great to be here, John. It's been a long time coming. We've swirled around each other's worlds for some time now. So I'm glad to finally sit down. What should people know about me? Well, I think to kind of preface all of this, prior to starting Waybook, I'd previously grown and scaled a few businesses before, and like many of your kind of audience, I'm sure, is kind of the classic entrepreneurship type, constantly living in chaos and constantly trying to dig my way out of chaos. And I feel like one thing that has always been very core in all of the businesses that I do is just this kind of striving to kind of optimize the work that I do to almost get to that next level. Very much for the game of running a better business, as well as all of the output and the positivity that you had. So what people should know about me is I'm kind of an entrepreneur at heart. Very much love the kind of systems building and finding leverage on my time, but more specifically, and the pleasure I've had with running Waybook for the last few years has been really just working with many thousands of business owners like yourself, like many other people I'm sure listening as well, to really lend some support in order for them to actually get back to the enjoyment of running their business as well. And you know, we kind of get stuck in this whirlwind of and chaos of running our businesses, and we're very much in the business of making that smooth scaling more enjoyable. So we're going to jump into a lot. I'm kind of keeping this as high level as possible.
No, I appreciate that. And you know, my story lines up well with that. A little background on, you know, my current group practice. Well, this is the second group practice I've created. But the first one, doing it with Waybook and with a really good practice manager who kind of owns Waybook for our company and has taken it upon herself for it to be kind of her project. But part of the initial kind of like squeeze is, a lot of therapists go from being a solo practitioner, like I did even for this business, and going, all right, I've got an office, I see clients, and maybe I want to replicate that or hire one clinician to come and see clients at my office. And then all of a sudden they're seeing clients and they're locked out of the building and they don't know the lockbox for the code, or they don't have the Wi-Fi info, or they don't know, they don't remember where to submit for payroll or something like that. And so the business owner gets, guess what, all three of those questions. And, you know, or by a text, you know, when you're at home with your family and it's 7 p.m. and someone is like, hey, how do I submit for payroll again? Now, I mean, fast forward to months and months of building our own Waybook, clinicians know to go to Waybook and search it like an internal Wikipedia. And then as Alana has built this more and more, my phone has gotten eerily quiet to the point where I'm like, is everything okay? But in fact, people are just using it and going and getting what they need from Waybook, and the resource keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, I'm so pleased to hear that, John. There was a moment I had in scaling one of our previous businesses, which we still own, Hopper HQ, which is a social media planning tool, also actually used by a lot of therapists and group practices as well. But I had this moment where probably 2.5 years into the business, I went on holiday and I I was guilty for taking this time out, because I thought, you know, this chaos is going to happen with or without me, and when I'm away, I'm sort of leaving everyone. And I got back to find out that there was actually quite a bad problem that had happened when I was away, but people had mobilized, the problem had been addressed, it had been sorted, it was fixed, and just kind of passed on. And there was a moment for me that was a turning point, I think, as an entrepreneur, where I was like, I think I've built something bigger than myself. Like you know that feeling, that kind of like joy, that satisfaction and pride that the business is not just you. It's actually the systems you've built, the people, the knowledge, the way you share. And that's actually very much what Waybook is built on. So exactly what you're saying, that eerily quiet phone is success. And it's not because There's loads of inconsistencies. It's actually more because everybody knows where the information is, or they know what to do, and you have that confidence that people are onboarding. And that's just such a joy for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times business owners and therapists in our case start thinking about this stuff when they're already feeling the squeeze of it, or they've already grown a bit. And let's say they've hired 4 or 5 employees, and they're just kind of falling apart at the seams in terms of systems and processes and documentation, right? And so any system or any process that happens in the business, like, hey, where do I submit for payroll? Or what if someone submits to payroll late or whatever? If that's not written somewhere and accessible somewhere, or God forbid one of your team members who owns that process leaves, which they eventually will, then where is, you know, that knowledge leaves in their head, right? And employees are scrambling, and then the business owner gets sucked back in to being business operator again, and being the one to answer all those questions and submit, you know, payroll for people or whatever it is. And so now, you know, we've gotten to the habit with me and Alana, our practice manager, where anytime there's a new process, it's noted in Waybook, it's updated in Waybook. The team hears that it's updated in Waybook and gets, you know, that update. And they are kind of encouraged to go there first as a place to get their questions answered. I visualize it like the way that it would work at a big company, or people like, you know, my wife who works in tech, thousands of employees, and you have people with little questions like that. Sometimes I call them dumb questions, you know? And so she knows where to go for stuff like that, right? Because big companies that have massive operational teams, they have amazing, you know, resources and tools and internal Wikipedias and all this stuff where it's all, you know, built in, right? And they're masters at doing it. But on our scale, it's like, yeah, where do we start?
I think you're being very nice to the big guys there, John. We also speak to big businesses, and I'm like, well, where does your knowledge currently live? And they say, well, you know, we've got some files in this room, and we've got some systems over here. It's almost like there's too much in too many places, which interestingly becomes the same problem. But circling back to what you were saying there, I think one thing that we've benefited from, and we've seen a lot with group practices, and actually with all businesses at this kind of inflection point, is group practices typically are scaling, as you know, because somebody has done their job really well, and clients want more of what they're doing. So the only way to scale that is to kind of get more people. But that initial inflection point is actually probably more difficult to cross within group practices than other businesses, because you're not just actually scaling your operations or being consistent. You're almost putting your name to somebody else's very human way of delivery or human way of onboarding. So actually, I would say in these sorts of businesses, it's even more important to make sure that we're taking some of that time to figure out why is something working in a particularly good way of the way I'm doing it, and what's my view on the world, and how can we make this more efficient and consistent. And I think the more we talk about systems, processes, procedures, the more boring it sounds. And actually, if we just break that down into what that actually is for smaller businesses, it's almost just, what do you do every day that doesn't need to be reinvented or done by you? That is essentially it, right? What we've done a lot with Waybook, I mean, Waybook's been around for a few years, and obviously AI has changed the game in knowledge management in the last couple of years, and we've been very excited to adopt that. You can literally come into Waybook now and describe your business, and it will build out your whole playbook. You can do a process on your computer, and we've got an extension called Shots, and it will just record what you do and it turns it into a process. So this kind of documentation almost now doesn't have to be at that breaking point where you're in chaos, but it can be an iterative point of, okay, every time I record one thing, centralize one thing, document one thing, you never have to repeat that again, rethink that again, have that inconsistent again. And it just kind of brings that peace of mind. So,
Yeah, one of my buddies who runs a virtual assistant company, and you know, he's got hundreds of VAs that are hired for hundreds of entrepreneurs and businesses of all types. And part of it is training the entrepreneur on how to work well with the VA because it all lives in their head, right? And so he always says, do everything like it's the last time you'll ever do it. So if you're showing a VA, like, here's how to post an Instagram reel to my account, or here's the format that I like, you know, use a screen share tool or a screen recording tool, document that process. And at the time he was like, just throw it in a Google Doc or something, right? You know, just start somewhere with like, here's the playbook, here's the recipe book of how things should be done, and then hand it to them, and then clarify other questions. And then that person can own that process now. And then maybe a year later, there's a new process and they document their own processes, right? And then put it in a central place for the team. And so he got me thinking like that before I needed, before I knew I needed to think like that, right?
I think it's a good point. I mean, interestingly, you talk about Google Docs. In our previous businesses, we centralized everything on Google Docs, and I think the core sentiment that we see with systemizing is it is around kind of extracting that knowledge from your head and having that in a centralized single source of truth. Now, replace Google Doc with, you know, SharePoint or Notion or Waybook or whatever that may be. The reason why we actually kind of started Waybook was because our Google Docs fell apart at the seams, because actually you end up with multiple versions of it. You don't quite know who hasn't got access to it. If people can't do a unified search across things, if you update a document and no one knows it's been updated, or you don't know if they've seen it, it really does work, but actually it requires a lot of discipline, and it only stretches you so far. So absolutely, to start the practice and that thought, I think you're right. Writing it down and saying, if you've got a question, come to this post-it note bank. That's better than it living in your head. And then, you can just, once that knowledge is out, you can optimize and change that knowledge as you go.
Yeah, I'm also curious if you can speak more, because on one hand, I'm like, Waybook feels like this internal Wikipedia of sorts. The search function to me is huge, right? Because a lot of times people don't even know what what they need to ask, right?
Yeah.
And so starting there and just getting some keywords to pop up of like, oh yeah, that's what I was asking, or I couldn't remember the software for payroll, and we have, you know, a section in Waybook that says payroll software, and then it links to it or whatever. But you know, in this business, I have hosted a lot of online courses, right, where I've got this content where people are coming, and something I have enjoyed is on something like Kajabi, where I can see people's progress, right?
Yeah.
Now that can happen in Waybook, which is huge for us because we use it for things like onboarding. So Alana has built out a very thorough onboarding process like an online course, and we can see people's progress, right? Or when we roll out an update like to our payroll process, and then she lets everyone on Slack know, she can see that 9 out of 10 people have watched it and one person hasn't, right? And then she can address that. That is super helpful. But maybe say more about the kind of like learning piece that happens there, or the way that it can kind of feel like an online course within Waybook, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a great point. So I mean, perhaps the way to think of Waybook is almost in the combining of the traditional worlds, or as you've kind of said, the worlds that are present within larger businesses. And that's very much the traditional learning management system. So where you go to do your training, to do your courses. Sometimes you also have a separate place where you do your onboarding, and that might actually be with your managers, with your teams, you get your policies from HR, whatever that may be. And then you almost do your work, but when you're referencing back where you do that work, you might have your intranet or your wiki or your knowledge base. So these three different worlds really exist for those different purposes, which is kind of madness in small business and scaling businesses, because as soon as you or your team cannot answer that question in a very quick way, they'll ask you or they'll ask a colleague. And as soon as the knowledge exchange happens outside of your centralized source, then that knowledge changes, grows, you get various different versions of it, and the whole thing breaks. All of those systems break. So the way to think of Waybook is almost like this single source of truth for scaling businesses. So a Waybook structure actually has a set of documents, and in those documents, it can be broken down into different steps. You're very familiar with this, and it's very easy once you visualize it. But those documents can be a policy. They can be a procedure. They can be information. And Waybook basically builds you a playbook structure for all of your single source of truth. So when somebody is added in, you can actually create a custom pathway for that person through that document. Mm. So Alana's done this with your playbook, of course, with your Waybook, where she said, okay, if we have a new therapist onboarding, yes, we want them to do these five documents in the first day. Then we want them to do how we onboard clients. Then we want them to do how we do, kind of billing and payroll and whatever that may be. So everybody, dependent on who they are, gets a very custom access, a very custom pathway through it. And it also means that each one of those is not just receiving that information. You can do tests and assessments and things like that. So you don't actually need to worry whether or not your phone is eerily quiet because people aren't doing anything. You can actually just say, okay, everyone's up to speed and I know they've got it. Where this becomes really interesting, and literally just an hour ago, I got off a call with a big group practice, so 350 therapists. And she was saying, we basically have this challenge where we're holding people to account on the information within their onboarding, but they were using SharePoint and connecting through Teams. Mm-hmm. And they weren't aware of the things that they were holding people to account on.
Yeah.
And they had no way of saying, well, look, you actually did look at it. You've proved to me you know it. So that's almost on the other side when we're coming into that compliance and management side of it. But the system actually allows that from the get-go, which is really, really valuable.
That's really cool. Yeah. And there's other pieces too, like, for instance, when people are signing on with us, they will get a copy of like the employee handbook, which is a dense document full of, you know, policies, and it's a very state specific thing, you know, for us in the US. So that's a really important document that they kind of sign off on, in our case in Gusto. So part of the onboarding happenings there, but then on an ongoing basis, when they need to reference that, that is also in Waybook. So that's another place for them to find it. Kind of on an ongoing basis. Getting started feels like a bit of a challenge for a lot of folks. And I remember when we first started with Waybook, just the sense of like, okay, how do you kind of chunk your business down? Mm-hmm. You know, what would you say about that in terms of people that like maybe have some things documented here and there, like in a Google Doc or wherever, and are just like opening a new Waybook account and staring at that kind of blank page, so to speak? You mentioned some of the AI that can help build it. I know you guys have great templates too, but like, how do you guys help make it easy to get started?
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I mean, so we actually, one thing I love about the world of group practice is you get people who smash it. Like yourself, who've kind of doing this second time round, and you find a lot of people like yourself, like Uriah from Productive Therapist, like Lisa Catello. There's so many amazing people that have done really well and are now almost just sharing back, being like, look, it's actually quite easy when you know how. So just change this way, or think about it in this way, and kind of frame it in this way. So there's lots of actually great people and great resources around that can kind of show you that side, which I guess anybody listening to this is kind of like, yes, that's why I'm here. So give me the answer. So you got that. When you sign up to Waybook, I think there's two parts of it that I'll answer your question. One of them is very much around the kind of mental space to be in, and the other one is how the product helps. From a mental space, I would basically be very specific with what are you trying to achieve from centralizing your knowledge. And even though we have this nirvana of having all of our business on the same page, we never have to worry about anything. I think that can become overwhelming by saying that's what I want to get to from day one. If you look at your next business challenge, and that may be, onboarding a new therapist or onboarding a front of house or onboarding a finance admin, whatever that may be. It may be actually opening up a new practice, which is often the case where people are kind of fully scaling geographic locations. I would almost identify what are the top five areas of knowledge. And in each of that, so that might be, you know, client onboarding or whatever. What are the three core processes that happen or procedures that happen within each of those five? Mm-hmm. And then instantly you've got a list of 15 things. And then you can either document, just bullet point it, or ask your team to bullet point how they do it. And that actually is the bare bones structure.
Great.
Now, the product helps iterate on that because actually you can see what your team are searching for. So if somebody is searching for a particular challenge, and by the way, when I say search, you can search for documents, but you can also ask your knowledge. So it almost is like ChatGPT for your team, fluent on your information. So you can see how people are interacting. And anytime there's a knowledge gap, you're flagged on that. And then you can just answer that question in Waybook and you never have to touch it again. So this iterative approach really is very, very useful and very valuable. Yeah. So answering that question in the other way, how Waybook can support with that. I mean, I would love for you to experience it again, John, because genuinely you sign up and you literally just describe your business and it builds out the perfect Waybook for you.
Wow.
It's yeah. phenomenal. Honestly, when the team first showed me this, I genuinely nearly fell off my chair because I got so excited about it and it's so game changer.
Yeah. That's huge. I mean, when we got started, and I have to give credit to my buddy Uriah. He's the one that turned me on to Waybook and
also helped
me get started. And he gave me a peek into his of like, here are the categories that we have kind of started with, whether it's like finance, operations, HR, you know, clinical, stuff like that. And that helped me to visualize it and to help Alana just start to kind of chunk stuff, you know, into those categories. But yeah, it's incredible how it's going to get even easier, right? For Waybook to kind of tell you what you're missing and what people are looking for.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is the great thing. And it's not actually just when you start. So actually sometimes people will come back into a completed Waybook and go into this, we call it the structure builder, and say, okay, I now want to like create out a marketing playbook, and it will understand your business and create out almost again, that to-do list of documents, procedures, policies. And then on each of those, you might have a to-do list of 20. You can then either, as you said, use the templates from hundreds of templates. You can upload any documents if you've got them, or actually you can use the AI writer to say, right, well, we know you're a group practice of 15 people in Florida and you want a new client onboarding procedure. It will just write it for you. Wow. And then obviously you edit it and kind of make it yours. And we also do have process consultants internally that work with clients who want a more kind of like handheld service. But my aim is that you can do this all yourself. That's what you should be able to do.
That is incredible. Yeah, I mean, the feedback piece. So what I remember what I told Alana is we're kind of going to let the team show us where the holes are. And that has continued to be the case. Mm-hmm. So even bridging something like Slack, which we use as a team. So we have different channels for things like, within the clinical channels, we have different modalities we use like IFS or EMDR. And so if this is the second or third time someone has posted in the EMDR Slack channel or messaged and said like, hey, where's that PDF protocol, for EMDR, like that one important resource, you know, then that's something we need to make sure we have in Waybook, send them there, and say, okay, that's a resource that people are looking for. Why do they keep misplacing it or whatever, and making sure we have it there. So I honestly, our clinical resources within Waybook are some that I'm the most excited about too, because we're a teaching practice. And so having resources like that, or like if we have a trainer come in and teach us something new and they say, hey, and here's this one page PDF on how to do what I just taught you, that's in Waybook now, right? In the right place under EMDR, under this specific protocol. And like, just imagining over the years and years of all the training we do, all the resources, all the consultants we bring in, we're building this rich library of resources. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about that, right? Because then a new clinician comes in and they have this wealth of resources all of a sudden, and it just grows. It's kind of like crowdsourcing,
it,
right?
It does, yeah.
Kind of contributes, yeah.
And I think also one thing, I don't know if you are using it or not, but you can actually connect Waybook with your Slack. So if somebody is in a channel, they can just slash Waybook and search EMDR, and it will search your Waybook in the channel.
I think Alana just added that. That's amazing.
Yeah. One thing that I know a lot of practice owners really struggle with is just turnover of you know, therapists or clinicians or whoever that may be. And I think that it's so damaging, right? Because ultimately, and more so in the early days, it's just a time leverage game, isn't it? We're just trying to get more leverage for our time. And a lot of that time goes into the people that then ultimately help us get more leverage of our time. But if they come and absorb our time on the onboarding and then disappear, we're in this infinite loop. So actually being able to essentially onboard once into Waybook and then that onboards other instantly gives that leverage.
Yeah.
But what we've seen in the big irony is that your retention is massively increased because the onboarding is good. it's kind of like a really like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Positive benefit by doing one thing right, you get two things in the box. So,
well, it's a critical period, right? From an employee standpoint, it's funny. So my wife actually works in learning and development, and you know, back in the day, she was working at Facebook, and they were onboarding 500 people a week. You know, you can imagine, right? It's 500 people, and you're trying to create this kind of unified experience to both kind of help immerse people in the culture of the company and set them up with all of the logins and softwares and, you know, technology they need to do the job and stuff.
Right? Yeah.
Those touch points are so essential, and therapists really overlook those. And either overwhelm, you know, a new therapist, or every time, like you said, they're onboarding someone, it's just kind of like out of my head. I think an easy way to start with that is the next time you're onboarding someone, let's say you're doing it on Zoom and you have a talk that you kind of give about, you know, getting started at this practice or how to do initial phone calls with your clients or something like that, you know, do it on Zoom, record it, record yourself doing it live, and then, you know, put that into Waybook or something like that. Like, just record what you're already doing, and that's one step in the right direction of having that documented. And now next time you don't have to do that.
Yeah,
you might still take a new employee out to lunch, but they've already watched that video and they can come to you with questions or more about the nuance of like what they learned.
I think you just hit on something really interesting there, because the more you can turn the unnecessary synchronous activity into async, the more time you've created to add more value when you are together. So yes, of course you can still have lunch with new hires and you can do all of that, but you're just operating at a different level because people are on the same page. I think the other thing that I also hear, I hear every time we speak to people who've been onboarded with Waybook, which isn't actually as much, because I mainly speak to the kind of business operators, but often people say that they have a much more comfortable approach with their onboarding because they know that they can come back to this. And
yeah, totally.
You know, when you're on that first day or that first week, you're trying to make a good impression. You're trying to understand everything. You're thrown into meetings or appointments or whatever. You're trying to learn and remember everything. You're not going to remember everything. So it's just stressful. But knowing that actually you can come back and it's all going to be there actually is really meaningful. And a small point actually makes quite a big difference from that human perspective of somebody starting.
Yeah. The last thing I wanted to ask you about, Mike, is, you know, and I learned this the hard way when I sold my first group practice. I didn't have Waybook or something like that. And I had to kind of create it during the sale, which was really hard and a lot of work to get every single thing out of my head, right? And transfer it over to the new owner, right? Like, how does this business actually work? And what are all the nuts and bolts, you know? And I think about that, right? And I think about this idea of a business being kind of built to sell, right? Or if someone bought my business right now, like if you bought my business, and would you know exactly what to do? Or could have someone like Alana as a business operator or business manager manage the day-to-day like pretty seamlessly, the same way that like if I bought a franchise, like, you know, franchise a Pizza Hut, like, how do they know how to make that happen again and make the pizza taste the same? So from that perspective, like, how do you see Waybook fitting into that of buying and selling of businesses?
Yeah, I mean, it's essential. Like we've heard some really interesting stories where people have actually entirely negotiated out an earnout in exchange for a comprehensive Waybook. And it has to be done, right? And I think you're more likely to get to the position to be able to sell if you are more systemized, because actually the asset that somebody is buying is the machine that you've built rather than a fragment of your mind. So you know, systemizing, documenting, delegating, scaling is the business you're selling. And then, yeah, on a very practical basis, unless you want to work for your new acquirers for 3 to 5 years, you have to give an operating manual, an operating plan for how the business works, a playbook, which means they can pick it up. And yeah, it's an asset which actually we've been really excited to see when people have sold their practices, including, you know, legal practices, dentists. We've seen it a lot within Waybook, and the Waybook is the asset, or you know, is the key. So I'm sure many of your listeners have listened to eMyth or read eMyth, and it's very much around creating that franchise prototype. As you're building. So actually, is this a turnkey operation? That means that actually you can sell it. The other interesting part with that is once you get it to that point, then opening a second location or handing it off is very easy. And it actually opens up a lot of other opportunities where you say, look, I could sell this for, let's say, 4x EBIT or four times rev. Or I can actually just put this manager in place and I think it's going to carry on growing and I, you know, it's an asset. So it opens those opportunities and it makes everything a lot more seamless as well.
And, you know, in my perspective as a business coach is I at least want therapists to have that option, even if they're not thinking about selling, which a lot of therapists are not.
So important. Thinking
about it way too late, whether it's the marketing assets of what you're buying, whether it's the brand, the domain, the traffic, the organic traffic, right? The email list. And then this piece, you know, exactly the recipe book for the business. So I at least want therapists to be thinking like that, because even if you don't sell it, you have a way tighter business, you know, as a result, and your employees are happier and more contained because, right, it's just cleaner, right? And people feel safer and less stressed when things are organized and in place, right?
It's actually been really interesting as a you know, as an entrepreneur that loves chatting with other entrepreneurs, actually tapping into business owners that are fully systemized to actually see what they want. And some of them really want to sell. Some of them want to actually create that headspace and have that level of consistency so they can grow faster. They just want to fire themselves every month, you know, and figure out new things and systemize it and fire themselves and get another job. Some of them actually just want to hold the business where it is. And, you know, one of our Waybook customers that is a massive advocate, she runs an accounting practice. She famously scaled her practice and moved to Spain, and actually that's what she wanted to do, you know. So I'm fully with you in that. As a business coach, you want your clients to have that optionality. That optionality actually enables us to think about what we want. What how would you define success as an entrepreneur? And interestingly, even though we dream and we think and we live in our businesses so much, when you're in the whirlwind of the day-to-day, damn, you don't have much time to figure it out. You don't have much time to think about what could be if you weren't answering the same question 100 times, or if you weren't actually, you know, onboarding everybody themselves, or all of the busy work that doesn't have to be done by us.
Yeah, I have for a long time been the one to aggressively get those things off my plate. For a lot of therapists, the first thing is like bookkeeping, right? I've met therapists that have 10 employees and are still doing their own books. I, on one hand, I have a hard time understanding that. Well, a lot of therapists also, like, the first thing that they want, because they've had success as a solo practitioner, like go from 0 clients to 20 clients. Oh my gosh, I'm making 6 figures. And then they want this time freedom back, right? They don't want to be tied to their calendar, and I'm only making money when I'm in the chair, right? Basically, that's first like dilemma they have. And even then, even as a group practice owner, let's say you've got a successful group, but then again, that piece of like, could I step back from my business? Or if I took a month off, would people know what to do? But a lot of therapists are really craving that time freedom. You know, I think it's very natural to want that.
I think there's two bits that I've seen. One of them is very controversial. The bit that's not controversial, we'll start there, is what you're saying about a lot of group practice owners that have come up from being individual practitioners just love it, and just they want to be in the chair as well as growing the rest of the business. And actually that doesn't always happen, but if you want that one-on-one contact, but you also want to scale the practice, you almost choose where you index your time, and actually that might be you work on the business and then you're an individual practitioner. That can exist, but it needs to be, you need to have your systems in place, which means that you don't have to run the business. The business can run. The other controversial thing I've seen is that, arguably less so in therapy practices, but in other businesses, I think it's our ego as a founder that means that we have to be needed and involved.
100%. I actually don't think that's controversial at all. I think that's a call out I've been saying for a long time to therapists, right? Superhero syndrome, right? We think we're more than we really are, or that no one can do therapy as good as I can, or no one could, do the blog as well as I can. It's exactly. I struggle with that tremendously.
Yeah. You become the bottleneck. Yes. And I think I've seen it a lot. And some of my very good friends have this, you know, where people joke about their CEO, the chief everything officer. I think it's just an excuse. I think it's just an excuse. Yeah. And it normalizes the whirlwind and the chaos, which then means that they are the center of the business and they are doing everything because they're not making the choice for them to not do everything. And typically with group practices, they make money, right? So it's not like we're kind of running a scrappy startup that hasn't yet got product market fit and we're not making any revenue. So we've got to do everything. It's like, no, you can, this is a business. You can operate this as a business and you can be smart with where you allocate your time, either for scale or for enjoyment. But as soon as I'm actually thinking about some very good friends that joke about being the CEO, the chief everything officer, who are going to kill me if they see this. But I'm like, no, I think it's bullshit. I think it's an excuse.
Totally. Yeah.
Normalizing the chaos means you'll never get out of it.
Yeah, totally. And I hope a lot of therapists kind of unwind from that and really do more of the emotional work around letting go of control and letting go of the reins or letting go of the rope, as some say. And usually it's rooted in a deeper issues around control, anxiety, letting go, feeling needed, feeling important, all those things, right? Or just taking the world on your shoulders. Like, I'm the one that got us here, so I have to be, the bearer of all burdens. It's deeply psychological, and it's a very...
The irony of the therapy.
Do as we say, not as we do. Well, Mike, we could do a whole another episode on that in itself. Yeah. We'll have to do that sometime. Anything else you feel like you didn't get to say today? I mean, obviously there's more to say.
So much, John. No, I think the one thing, I mean, I actually just to you personally, I know you've spoken very kindly of Waybook and genuinely, I feel, we didn't start this for group practices. Actually, we started this for kind of small businesses scaling, and we kind of really found this. We really found this kind of love from the group practice community, and as well as actually similar business models. You know, kind of accountants and legals and dentists and things like that. And that's where we've optimized and moved through. But it's really been valuable and meaningful having so much kind of support and love from you and Uriah and Lisa and lots of people. So yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to you for all of the support. We really do love working with business owners. And if anybody was interested to say, okay, I don't want to be chief everything officer anymore, let me figure it out. Always get in touch. And yeah, we'd love to kind of see how we can support you, get your business on the same page and kind of get to that smooth scaling.
Totally. Awesome. Yeah, I can't thank you enough, Mike, for doing this and chatting with us. Yeah, I continue to be a big fan of what you guys do and of the product. Like I said, we leverage it heavily now. So therapists interested in using Waybook, give it a try. Therapists that need help using Waybook, you know, Alana, my practice manager, also does this type of stuff for other practices. So she can be hired as well to help build your Waybook. If you're a group practice owner, you can look her up, Seamless Practice Solutions, as well as Waybook. So having someone to help you build it is always a great idea. Mike, thank you again for doing this, and love to have you back anytime.
Look forward to it. Yeah, anytime. Thanks so much, John. Have a great one, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Mike. Cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye.